The following essay was originally aired in 2002. You're listening to The Natural World. I'm John Cooney. Journal entry, March 30th, 10:30 a.m. Central Oregon Coast, Darlingtonia State Natural Site. Swallows course high above the treetops through the warm, tranquil morning air. The roar of engines from the nearby highway drowns out their chirping calls. Just beyond the bridge near the parking lot, a pair of Townsend's chipmunks pursues each other briskly around the broad, gray, scaly trunk of a western red cedar. A shallow creek flows beneath the bridge and then disappears into the sandy soil. A wooden boardwalk leads into a boggy, open area surrounded by more cedars and numerous sculpted shore pines. Acid-loving plants like wax myrtle, huckleberry, and salal crowd together, competing for space in the shadowy openings. The marshy depression is covered by a few inches of clear, stagnant water. Along much of the coastline from Washington to Northern California, systems of sand dunes lie piled high between the ocean and the rocky coastal mountains. The eastern margins of these systems are fringed with clusters of lakes, ponds, and marshes, forming a unique community of plants and animals. Up to 23 species of fish have been recorded in some of the larger lakes, as well as a generous variety of plants, birds, mammals, and amphibians. These landscapes are fleeting and dynamic. Life shifts and migrates over time across the unstable sandy substrate. Each of these lakes, no matter how large or deep, will gradually fill in from the margins inward, creating a succession of habitats. Several decades after its birth, the shallow lake becomes a marsh or treeless wetland. Gone are the fish and most of the waterfowl, river otters, and submerged pondweed. This waterlogged, sterile, acidic environment can only support plants that have adaptations that specifically address these harsh conditions. A few miles north of Florence, Highway 101 cuts through a series of mountainous sand dunes winding in between several lakes before climbing toward Hasita Head. On the side of the road, an 18-acre state park is dedicated to protecting and displaying a single species of insectivorous plant, Darlingtonia californica, or the hooded cobra lily. After a few dozen yards, the boardwalk crosses onto a former lake bed. The trees give way, allowing full sunlight to reach the ground. Buzzing insects enliven the scene, stimulated by the warm sunshine. Bright yellow, flame-shaped 8-inch flowers of skunk cabbage take advantage of this early insect activity. These garish yellow beacons last only a week or so. They emit a smell similar to decaying meat to attract insect pollinators. Their leaves are said to be the largest deciduous leaves in North America, growing to 5 feet in length. Here in the nutrient-poor bog, the leaves are only a few inches across. These early bloomers have actually been shown to generate their own heat. The emerging flowers can melt through snow and provide warm shelter for pollinating beetles. Dense clusters of 18-inch yellow-green hollow tubes mottled in reddish pigment surround the boardwalk. Hundreds of Darlingtonia stand raised in the sunshine like cobras preparing to strike. These plants passively hunt insects by attracting and trapping them into their tubular leaves. Nectar glands cover the surface of the pitcher-like leaf, especially on the mustache that hangs down in front of the mouth and around the thickened lips of the opening. Once inside, flying insects are attracted to light entering the hood through transparent windows in the ceiling. While searching for a way out, the insects land on the smooth, waxy interior surface where they slide toward a pool of fluid at the slender base of the pitcher. On the way down, they pass over stiff, downward-pointing hairs that will prevent their upward escape. They drown and are digested in the bottom of the tube. In the bog's shallow ooze just below me, a pair of red-legged frogs waits in perfect patient stillness for an opportunity to capture an unwary insect, just as they have for 100 million years before the appearance of the first flowering plants on Earth. The The Eugene Springfield chapter of the North American Butterfly Association presents Professor David James, an entomologist from Washington State University, on Monday, April 5th. He will be speaking on the life histories of Cascadia butterflies. Professor James will present new information about biology and ecology of Cascadia butterfly development. The lecture begins at 7:30 p.m. in the eWeb Training Center at 500 4th Street in Eugene. This meeting is free and open to all. If you have sightings or events you would like to report or suggestions of areas you would like to see profiled, you can send me email at John Cooney, that's John with an H, C-O-O-N-E-Y, at msn.com.